Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Even though it happened, it's been a while now, probably over 10 years ago, I can still remember this conversation with a friend quite clearly. He gave me his unsolicited reason for why he rejects the God of the Scriptures. It happened while we were fishing together. And as any of you who have been fishing with me know, while we're fishing together, it's no time to be talking theology with me. And yet somehow we got into a conversation about faith and religion, and he felt obligated to tell me that he did not believe in God. And so I asked why. And he said, because there's too much evil in the world. If God is supposed to be good, why does he allow evil in the world? That was the first time I ever heard that particular reason for rejecting God. Since then, I've heard it several more times. Maybe you've heard it from time to time, too. I have noticed, however, since that time, that I hear that concern, that question, if you will, from time to time, not only from unbelievers, but I also have heard it from those who live by faith and walk by faith, believers, who at times in their life become quite perplexed over the question of if God is good, why is there evil in the world? I do sometimes wonder how many people reject the God of the Scriptures not because of the irreconcilable claims between the science and the Scriptures or because the appeal of another religion, but simply because of the state of the world and the evil in the world today. The Bible describes God as being almighty, omnipotent. The Bible also describes God as being good. So when you put those two things together, what that means is that God is powerful, is all-powerful, and that he uses that power not for evil, but for good. He uses his power in order to carry out his goodness among us, not to harm us, not to destroy us. In fact, out of the goodness of his heart, the nature of his love, he goes so far that by the power of his word, he even saves us. So how can a God who desires only what is good and who has the power to eliminate all the evil in this world, how can a God who is good and desires nothing but our good allow evil to take place in this world? And let's make no mistake about it, evil is definitely not good for you and me. Is it that he is asleep? Or is it that since he is male, he can only do one thing at a time? And while he's watching one side of the planet, the other side of the planet, all evil is breaking loose. Or is it that there really is no such thing as this God of the Scriptures? Or that he really isn't almighty? Or that he really isn't loving? Needless to say, all this is enough to ruin a good fishing trip. So how do we respond to this reason for rejection? St. Peter says that we should be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks us for a reason for the hope that is in us. How do we respond to those who have lost all hope in the God of the Scriptures? How do we respond to those who are struggling to hold on to the hope to the God of the Scriptures that they have? How do we respond to those who live in a world like we do, where there is definitely real evil present among us? Let me begin by simply summarizing four responses that are used to answer this question about evil. These are philosophers' responses to the question of evil. And at the end, I'll suggest why they all ultimately fall short of a satisfying answer anyway. First of all, some say that evil is really just good in disguise. What we call evil, God calls good. We just don't see it the way God sees it. We don't see the good in it. For example, we call disease, mass destruction, natural disasters that wipe out hundreds, even thousands of people, we call that evil. Some say God calls that good because it's his method of population control. We just don't see God's side of it. Some say that there are really two equally opposing forces in the universe. One is all good, the other is all evil. If there is a higher power, then there must, of course, be a lower power. And neither one is omnipotent, neither one is almighty, neither one is stronger than the other. And so they balance one another, and there's this yin and yang to the universe, and it's this tension between these two that hold the world together and make the world go round. Some say that a certain amount of evil in this world is necessary so that we may appreciate the good. There has to be sickness so that we appreciate our health. There must be a certain amount of war at all times so that we may appreciate peace. Another way that philosophers deal with the question of evil is simply to deny that it even exists. Categories like good and evil, some say, are simply the invention of our imagination. And they're based on what is convenient for our particular moral worldview. We call certain things evil because it fits, it works. So for example, we call abortion, euthanasia, evil. Some say, no, not really evil. It's just depending on how you look at it, depending on your moral worldview. I remember an account I read some time ago of a debate between two famous philosophers who debated the question of evil. Bertrand Russell, a devout atheist, one side of the debate. Russell claimed that the distinction between good and evil was based solely on cultural history and personal feelings. Cultural histories and personal feelings determined what evil was, but evil in and of itself had no real objective reality. It's just whatever you decide is evil. On the other side was a man named Frederick Copleston, who was a devout Christian, and Copleston responded to Russell, and he said, Mr. Russell, he said, in some places they honor their guests by inviting them to a meal, and in other places they honor their guests by making a meal out of them. And both of them are based on cultural histories and personal feelings. Did Mr. Russell have a particular preference? What each of these attempts at answering the question of evil have in common with each other, I think, is that each either ignores or denies the power and the goodness of God. I think that there is an underlying stream of thought that sort of flows through this whole question of why does God allow evil in the world, and that leads to a rejection of God. And the flow of thought, if I think through it correctly, goes something like this. Fact A, the Bible says God is almighty. Fact B, the Bible says God is good. Assumption is, if God is almighty and good, as the Bible says, therefore, he would not allow evil to happen in this world. Fact C, evil happens in this world. No denying it. Conclusion, God must not be almighty, or he must not be good, or maybe he doesn't exist at all. Obviously, none of the above answers that we have reviewed, nor this underlying stream of thought, is a satisfying or satisfactory answer for the believer. So just how does the believer respond and give a reason for the hope that is in us? First of all, before we dive into that, let me just say that we believers with all good intentions, sometimes I'm afraid do more harm than good simply because we try too hard here. We want to defend God from every attack against his being, and in our zeal and in our quest to defend the honor and the name of God, we give answers to questions that, frankly, the Bible does not give answers to. And so where the Bible doesn't give answers to, in our zeal to defend the honor of God, we use the philosopher's answers or we make up answers on our own. Listen, do not worry about defending God. God can defend himself just fine. I'm afraid that God spends far more time and effort than he should have to repairing some of the damage that his beloved Christians do when they try to defend him without with the claim of the I'm afraid that God spends far more time and effort than he should have to repairing the damage that his beloved Christians do when they try to defend him without the wisdom and the love that comes down from above. Here's what I mean. There are some, I know, who present this reason for rejection, because for them, it's just another layer in the wall that separates them from ever having to be confronted by the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that. But I also know, and I suspect that this is probably more often the case than not, that there are people who raise this question and wrestle with this issue because evil has touched them personally and very closely, and they themselves have been wounded by it. And so if we answer this question as though this is some debate that must be won to the honor and the glory of God with these kinds of people, we do more harm than good, even if everything that we say is exactly right. When my friend told me that he disbelieved in God because there was too much evil in the world, I replied by saying, "Friend, I'm not all that sure why God allows evil in this world. All that I know is that somehow the answer is hidden in the cross of Jesus Christ. As strange as it sounds, God brought all of the evil in this world to bear upon his only Son. And in the cross of Christ and by his blood, he brought out of the worst evil in the world the greatest good and the greatest act of love the world has ever known." You know, I think back on that little conversation that ruined my fishing trip. But I look back on that little conversation and I still to this day honestly think that of all of the responses that I've ever been called upon to make to the questions of faith, that's the one that I'm still content with. That's the one that I stick with. The rest of them, you know, more than half the time I wish I could take that back. But this one I'll stick with. It's okay to say, "I don't know why God allows evil." Because frankly, we don't know why he allows evil. The Bible doesn't tell us why. In fact, what the Bible tells us is you don't know why and you can't know why. Paul writes to the Romans and he says, "Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out." And yet, we certainly don't stop there, do we? We certainly don't stop there and simply conclude by saying, "I don't know why God allows evil in this world," as though ignorance were bliss, as though ignorance were the reason for the hope that we have. The truth is, God has revealed a good deal about the question of evil in his word, through his word, and we need to have a good grasp on that. The Bible tells us where evil came from, and it makes it very clear it did not come from God. The account of creation tells us that God very purposefully intentionally created a world in which everything was very good. And God saw all that he made, and it was very good. Genesis 1:31. But by the time we come to Genesis chapter 3, we now notice that there is a creature in the Garden of Eden that is evil. Sometime after the creation of the world, everything and everything in it, one of God's good creatures turned bad. All the way at the other end of the scriptures, Revelation chapter 12, we get this account of a battle that's going on in heaven, Michael and his archangels battling against a dragon and his angels, and Michael wins, and the dragon and his angels are cast down to earth. They're thrown out of heaven, thrown down to the earth. Jesus gives us this very interesting little piece of information that helps us tie the two together. When in the 10th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, Jesus says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Only Jesus can say that with a straight face, because only Jesus was there. Jesus was with God in the beginning. The evil one fell from heaven. He was cast down to earth. And there he is, right in the middle of the Garden of Eden, chatting with Adam and Eve. Now, when Adam and Eve are confronted with evil, and not only evil in general, but the very embodiment of evil, isn't it strange that instead of rejecting the evil and choosing the good, they do just the opposite? They accept the evil and they reject the good God. Ever since then, they became agents of the evil one. So although we cannot say why God allows evil in the world, we can say where the evil in this world comes from. There is an evil one in this world, and men and women are his agents. It may not always be evil on the grand scale that recently took place in Norway, or here, September 11th in the US, but in big and mostly little ways, we are all guilty. We are evil doers. We choose the evil over the good on a daily basis. And so the question, why does God allow evil in this world, gets very, very personal the harder you press it. It's a question that ultimately turns against us. Why does God allow evil in this world quickly becomes, why does God allow me to do the evil that I do? And so after chasing this reason for rejection this far down the road, we realize that we've come to another dead end. And yet, it is a good place to be. For ultimately, we must find that as we search through our own wisdom and strength, we ultimately always come to a dead end. And that leads us right to where we need to be, right to where we need to be to give a reason for the hope that is in us. I don't know why God allows evil in this world. All I know is that somehow the answer is hidden in the cross of Jesus Christ. And as strange as it sounds, God has brought all the evil in this world and all of the evil in me to bear upon his own Son. And out of it, he has accomplished the greatest good in the greatest act of love that this world has ever known. When Jesus' disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, Jesus said, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father who art in heaven, deliver us from evil.'" In the original language of the New Testament, you can translate that just as accurately, "Deliver us from the evil one." Indeed, God has delivered us from the evil one and all the evil in this world. By the blood of Christ, God has redeemed his very good creation, so that just as there was no evil in the beginning, there shall be no evil in the end. By his resurrection from the dead, Jesus has crushed the head of the evil one. Easter Sunday is the reason for the hope that is in us. God has brought us into this victory one at a time through holy baptism, and the victory of the cross now becomes our own victory. Through the waters of holy baptism, God has converted each of those who pass through those waters, so that now we are no longer agents of the evil one. Now we are agents of the Holy Spirit. And daily we strive to do good and not evil. And we fight against the evil not only in us, but the evil in this world. And we do so knowing that the outcome has already been settled. If God is good, why is there evil in the world? G.K. Chesterton once wrote about how we respond to things that God has not given us a clear answer to. Chesterton wrote, "When belief in God becomes difficult, the tendency is to turn away from Him, but for heaven's sakes, to what?" You and I turn to God and we pray, "Deliver us from evil." In the name of Jesus.